Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Our subject today is religious repentance. Religious repentance. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, so he's speaking to believers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 is where I want to get to. And do not be conformed to this world. Please underline conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. So we can know from the scriptures that the will of God can be divided into the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will. And the Bible says that we believers, because he writes to believers, we believers should not be conformed to this world. Conformation to the world is just talking about we should not be religious or conformed to the ways that human beings have in expressing themselves to God, right? We should not be conformed to the world or to religion, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So our minds must be made new again. And when our minds are made new again, the Bible tells us three things that are a sign, or if you like, I should say something that is a sign that our minds are renewed. It says that when our minds are renewed as believers, we can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So what shows that your mind is renewed is when you can prove what the good will of God is, what the acceptable will of God is, and what the perfect will of God is. So I want us to understand that God wants us to pursue the ultimate, which is what? His perfect will. And before Jesus Christ, who is a perfect one, came to introduce to us the perfect will of God for us as humans, we had the good will and we had the acceptable will. And they were told us by prophets. They were told us by men of God before Jesus Christ came upon the scene. So imperfect humans showed us the good will, the acceptable will. But the perfect person, Jesus, came to show us the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. And this perfect will of God is what pertains in the heavenly kingdom from which Jesus Christ descended. Hallelujah. So the perfect will of God is talking about the will of God that is done in heaven, which he wants that it is done here on this earth. That is why he says that we shouldn't be conformed to the world. We shouldn't be conformed to human beings and our own ways of trying to live up to God, you know, but we should rather be transformed so that we will appreciate what the perfect will of God is like. What we call the kingdom will of God. In other words, the will that is done in heaven, which Jesus Christ says that we should long for, that it is done here on this earth. Hallelujah. So don't be conformed to religion, but be transformed into what? The kingdom, the perfect will, which is done in the heavenly kingdom. So if you read the Bible, you will come across some things that God said that people should do, right from Genesis to Revelations, all right? Now, some of it which are taught by the prophets like Moses and all the David and all those people, some of it, they are not the perfect will of God. They are good. They are acceptable. But they are not the perfect will of God that God wants humanity to live by. We in this age should do what? Be able to aspire to the perfect will of God, or the will of God that is done in the heavenly kingdom, which he wants to be done on this earth. So I want you to understand something before we proceed, as we talk about religious repentance, that there are certain things which we can see from the Bible, which are acceptable, you know, but they are not the perfect will of God. They are good. They are not sins. They are not evil, but they are not the perfect will of God. But what we are going to do in this understanding, in this teaching, is that we want to be able to know which one is the kingdom will of God, the perfect will of God, which is done in the heavenly kingdom. Okay? And which one is the one which may be good, may be acceptable, but it's not what Jesus Christ came to introduce, came to bring to us, which is the will of God that is done in the heavenly kingdom, which we can call the perfect will of God. So I want you to understand that we are going to, or we are looking at a message that Jesus Christ came preaching. He came preaching what? Repentance. In fact, it is the first message Jesus Christ came preaching. It is the message of repentance, or if you like, in modern parlance, we will say change. Jesus Christ came preaching what? Change or repentance. Okay? But he came preaching change from religion to the kingdom. Hallelujah. He came preaching change from human beings and our own ways of trying to please God, which we can say is good, is acceptable, but he said that we should change from that and embrace what? The perfect will of God, which is the will of God, which is done in the heavenly kingdom, the kingdom will of God. So that was Jesus's first message. It was a message of kingdom change. It was a message of changing from religion to the kingdom system or the kingdom arrangement. Hallelujah. So our dearest Jesus came preaching to the Jewish people, and he was preaching change to the Jewish people. Can you imagine that? These Jewish people were a people who loved God. They were a people who attended church, the temple, the synagogue. They were a people who engaged in God's work. They were a people who studied the Bible. They knew from their infancy, they are taught to recite the Torah, the books of Moses. Okay, so they studied the Bible. They were people in the nutshell who knew God. But imagine preaching change to people like that. People who love God already. So what change should they change? They should not love God again. No, that was not it. But Jesus Christ was preaching repentance or change to these people because the way that they were loving God, the way that they were doing their things, attending to the things of God, the way that they were doing the work of God, they were all in the religious order. They were all an expression of the good and the acceptable, but not the perfect, not the kingdom will of God. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ's message to them, to these God-fearing, God-loving, church-attending Jewish people, was not for them to stop loving God or change their ways, don't ever attend the assembly of saints, on, you know, but it was for them to love God, but to do it the kingdom way, because they were already doing it, loving God. But Jesus' word to them was for them to do it the kingdom way. It was not for them to stop attending church or the assembly of godly people, but they were supposed to do it with a kingdom mind, a kingdom understanding. They were not to stop doing God's work, but they were to do it with a kingdom understanding, in a kingdom way. Hallelujah. They were not to stop studying the Bible, but they were to do it with a kingdom understanding, because they were already studying the Bible, much more devoted to the Bible than some believers even today. They memorize the scriptures intentionally much more than some believers doing it today. So why did he tell them to change? It was because they were studying the Bible in a religious manner. But he wants them to get it, you know, study the Bible with a kingdom understanding, with a kingdom mind. Hallelujah. It was not for them to stop knowing God, but to know God in a kingdom way. Because their prophets told them about God. But Jesus Christ comes and he says, change to a people who knew God already. It means that they should change from the religious way that they know God to a certain way that he, Jesus, was bringing. Hallelujah. It is important for us to get this thing very well. So, unlike religious repentance, kingdom repentance is relevant to everybody, every person. Whether you love God, you attend church, you study the Bible, you know God, you know, you serve God, you are a servant of God. Jesus Christ still told the servants of God in his day that they should repent or they should change. In other words, kingdom repentance that Jesus Christ was bringing was relevant to everybody. Whether they are believers or unbelievers, they need to repent. As a matter of fact, the message of kingdom repentance was not only Jesus' first message on this earth, but when he resurrected from death, he spoke to seven churches. In other words, he spoke to his church on earth. And the major thing he told them all throughout his message to the seven Asia Minor churches in Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3, it was one message. The message was what? Repent. He speaks to the church in this place, Philadelphia. He says, you need to repent. The church in Ephesus, you need to repent. The church in Thyatira, you need to repent. You know, the Laodicean church, you need to repent. So look at how glorified Jesus. He comes and reveals himself, as it were, to his church on earth. And the message he is giving them all throughout his message to the church is change or repent. Change or repent. Hallelujah. Is it possible that because we are still in the post-resurrection era, if Jesus Christ should appear to his church today, he will tell them to change? He will tell them to repent? Hallelujah. Not repenting after the religious order. I've explained this to you copiously. But repenting in the kingdom way. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So, I want us to understand that religious repentance is man's way of repenting or changing that is nice to us, acceptable to us, is good, and it is actually encouraged by the devil. Encouraged by the devil. Let me show you something in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and then verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13. I want to show you that the devil also engages in a form of repentance, but it is religious repentance. I don't think you want to repent like the devil. I don't believe so. Hallelujah. I believe that you want to have a wonderful repentance as is recognized in the heavenly kingdom, because religious repentance is not recognized in the heavenly kingdom by way of it being the perfect one God wants us to have.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and then verse 13 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers." Please underline deceitful workers. False apostles, deceitful workers. Transforming, please underline the word transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. You remember that the Bible said that we should not be conformed, but be transformed or be changed. All right? Be changed by having a certain understanding that Jesus Christ brought. Okay? So that you can be able to embrace what Jesus Christ brought, which is kingdom way of repenting. All right? Repenting in the perfect way God desires. So he says that there are some human beings who transform themselves. In other words, they change. But it is a religious change. Hallelujah. It is not a change that recognizes the kind of change that Jesus Christ reintroduced, the perfect change, the perfect will of God. All right? Verse 14. "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself." Underline the word transforms. Or Satan changes also. Satan, as it were, repents, if you like. He changes also into an angel of light. In other words, he is evil. We all know that Satan is evil, but he changes and he appears like he is good. He appears like an angel of light. We know he's an angel of darkness, but he's able to change into an angel of light. But will we call this change a kingdom change? Will we call it a kingdom transformation? No. It's a transformation, isn't it? Yes. The false apostles, they transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. In other words, when you look at them, they look like the apostles of Christ, but indeed, they are deceitful because they are not the apostles of Christ. And he says that he's the same with the devil. No wonder that the devil also changes into an angel of light. But this change or this repentance is not the change Jesus Christ came preaching. It is a religious change that the devil engages in himself, that he tries to sell to other people, sell to believers, sell to people of God, to engage in his type of change or transformation, which is religious in nature. That is why he says that don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the way that the world does their change, but be transformed by renewing your mind by the word of God, the kingdom word, so that you'll be able to prove which one is the kingdom way of repenting in our context, or the kingdom way or will of God for us. Hallelujah. So this religious repenting is one that the devil engages in. But we want to go beyond it and want to look at some features of religious repentance. You know, it is important to know and be able to identify what religious repentance is, so that you shy away from it, so that you grow out of it. It may be good, it may be acceptable to people, People may see you and say, you are the apostle of Christ. Oh, you are the angel of light. You are a wonderful believer and all that. But you know yourself whether you are in deceit. You know, religion is the highest level of deception. Religion is the highest level of deception because it has a semblance of the kingdom way of repenting. It looks like that, but it is really not. So let's look at some few features of religious repentance. This is not the way that Jesus Christ wants us to repent. This is not the kind of repentance he came preaching, the kind of change he came preaching. So we want to look at these features of religious repentance so that we can be able to deal with it. Religious repentance is born out of a fear of punishment for evil. Religious repentance is born out of a fear of punishment for evil and not regret for the evil. It is fear of the punishment for evil that makes people to change. All right? It's wonderful. It's wonderful that when our Lord Jesus Christ came, one of his first public words was repent. Matthew chapter 4 verse 17 or so. He said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say repent because God is annoyed with you. He didn't say repent lest you go to hell. He said repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why did he say that? He wouldn't have been wrong to say repent because hell is real. You know, he wouldn't have been wrong. It would be good. It would be acceptable. But that is not the perfect way. That is not the way that he, the perfect one, wants us to perceive or wants us to repent. He wants us to repent not because of fear for punishment. Because we all know that hell is a place for the punishment of evildoers, the devil actually and his saints, not for human beings. It's for the devil and his saints. God is so loving. He didn't prepare hell for human beings. Can you understand that? Hell is not prepared for human beings. Hell is prepared for the devil and his saints. Or rather, I should say, and his angels. You know? But Jesus Christ came saying, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The reason he said that is because he doesn't want our repentance to be born out of fear. Because then it becomes a religious repentance. Kingdom repentance is not born out of fear of punishment for evil. It is born out of love for God. That is why he said, repent because God's kingdom has come. God's kingdom, which I am carrying. I came from the heavenly kingdom. God's kingdom has come. It's near to you. Accept the kingdom. Hallelujah. Because he wants us to perceive that, hey, we are sinners. But look at it. God is showing us love, that he is bringing his kingdom to sinners. He should have said, repent because you are evil people. I mean, rebellious sinners. You repent so that you don't go to hell. You see? He says, I repent because a good thing has come. Yes, you are not doing things right. You are not living right before God. But his kingdom has come. It makes us see the love of God. That in spite of our sin status, he has still brought his kingdom near to us. Says that we should take his kingdom. What does it engender in us? It engenders in us a love response to God. That, Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry, if you are a believer, for the way that I'm living. Because I see that you so love me. Look at how you have brought your kingdom to me. He wants us to change or repent because of love. That is the change Jesus came preaching. That is the repentance Jesus came preaching. But the opposite is religious repentance. Religious repentance is born out of the fear of punishment for evil. But I want you to know something, that anything that is born out of fear cannot last, because the devil can topple it. That is why he promotes religious repentance. You see the thing? He promotes you repenting or changing because, hey, if I don't change, then maybe God will punish me. You understand that? But you must have a positive thing. I must change because God loves me. That is why we need to go out there preaching to unbelievers what? The love of God. Why? So that they will see his love and then out of love they will change. Because if we preach fear unto them and then they repent out of fear, the devil can topple that repentance. That repentance will not last. They will change. They will go back to the world. Because the love of the Father will not be in them. That is why, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do you know whom that message was spoken to? It was spoken to a man called Nicodemus. John 3:16. It was spoken secretly by night to a man called Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was a very religious person, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. Somebody who loved God. He had devoted himself. He fasts more than you, believer right now, who is listening to me, who think that you are wonderful, committed to God. Nicodemus was very committed. Giving alms, he gives to God. Jesus told him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did he tell him about the love of God? Because Nicodemus had a certain repentance, which drove him to come seeking Jesus. The same came to Jesus by night, saying, Rabbi, we know you. You are a teacher, come from God. Nobody can do the signs that you do, except God is with him. Jesus told him, I'm telling you, Nicodemus, you love God, but you need to change. God's love should be the foundation for your change. Hallelujah. Wonderful. You remember the time that, I wonder whether you can handle this. Remember the time that God told Adam and Eve that in the day you eat this fruit, you will die. The Hebrew says, dying, you will die. Double. Dying, you will die. I think that one is frightening. Hallelujah. What happened? What happened when God introduced them to death? If they disobeyed him, naturally, Adam will wonder, hey, death. I wonder whether he understood the death properly. Because nothing had died. No leaf had died. No animal had died. No human being had died. But God told them, the day you eat it, you will die. I'm sure they got the message. Because they could buy into the mind of God, if you know of Adam and Eve. They got the message. So what happened? We know the story. They disobeyed God. Do you know why God introduced them to that? The good, the acceptable, before the perfect will. It is to make us know and understand that giving threats, if you don't pay your tithe, God will curse you. Giving threats, if you don't read your Bible, the devil will come and hit your head. It makes people read their Bible because of what? The fear that the devil will come and hit their head. Not read the Bible because it's the word of your loving Father that nourishes you. When we give fear and threats to people, they will repent. They will change. But it will not last. Like Adam and Eve's one, it will not last. That is why God sends his Son, Jesus Christ, right now to come and show us the perfect will. His perfect will is that repent because of what? The kingdom is at hand. It's not born out of fear. A typical example of somebody who had religious repentance was Cain. In the book of Genesis chapter 4 and then verse 13 to 15, we get to see the story of Cain. Cain repented for killing his brother Abel, but his repentance was a religious one. Genesis 4:13 says, and Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. So Cain focused on what? The punishment that God had put upon him. That what? He was going to be a vagabond. Look at verse 12. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. a fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. Look at grace. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Why did Cain repent? Cain repented because he feared the punishment. The punishment, he said, is too much for me. He said, Lord, I'm sorry that I did such a thing to you, a loving God who has made provisions for us on this earth. So it's my punishment is too much for me. His focus was that God reduced the punishment. So he enumerates all the punishment. I'll be a vagabond and everything. And God says that, okay, the punishment is too much for you. I'll reduce the punishment for you. You know, so Cain's apparent change, or we call his repentance, was a religious one because it was born out of the fear of punishment. Hallelujah! He feared the punishment. So I want you to check your repentance. It must grow from a religious one to the perfect way God wants us to repent. That has foundation, that lasts. Not the one that you repent and then you go back and you repent and you go back. Some people can repent 10 times over one thing. Because the foundation is weak. So it doesn't stand the test of time. Just give them 2 months after the year. It will be quashed. They repent. Oh, I've resolved. I'll come to church early. I've resolved. I'll do this. But you see, the foundation is wrong. The foundation is something else. Apart from the real foundation that can stand. Hallelujah. Which is the love of God. Seeing the love of God will make you flow, will make you overcome every obstacle to do the right thing all the time. Fear is not the right foundation. Hallelujah. So I want you to know something, that Cain's repentance did not make God commit himself to him. Do you know why? All that God said was that he was going to have grace. He was still going to be a vagabond, but nobody will kill him. So he set a mark on his face that nobody will kill Cain. So we can say that God showed Cain grace. Grace that he will not die. Grace that he will be alive. But he will be somebody who will struggle in life. Religious repentance makes you struggle in life. You struggle with everything. You struggle with Bible study. You struggle with coming to church. You struggle with everything. You struggle even to make ends meet. Hallelujah. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.